Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to a very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. We like to call it the Trojan Blast. Today is April 24th, 2009, and USC head coach Pete Carroll held an end-of-the-spring press conference heading into Saturday's Trojan Huddle. We wanted to bring you all the audio from that press conference, about 30 minutes, so here you go.
Okay, so spring coming up here tomorrow, so we'll have a coach talk a little bit about how spring ball went and go over the depth chart that we just put out and talk about the huddle tomorrow.
Well, first off, I can't believe that it went so fast. Jesus, already into the last day. We've had a really, really eventful, good spring here with some obviously some obvious issues that you have to deal with as you do every spring. I think we've grown with the information and the input about what's going to happen, what we're going to do. It's critical spots, new coaches, you know, transitioning in. All of these things have come together in really good fashion. We really don't feel like we've had to take a step backwards at any time. The spirit of the football team and the guys' work and the competitiveness of practice has lasted throughout the whole spring, which is absolutely the number one criteria, is to get our work attitude right. And that happened again. And so, in just judging from years past, I know that when that takes place and we do compete like crazy day in and day out, then we're on track. And we're going to, you know, make for a good preparation to get into the summertime and get ready for fall camp and get ready to go again. So I really don't have any major concerns in any of the issue regards, which was quarterback position. I'm really excited about what's going on there. The linebackers, a couple guys up front and the defensive side that have transitioned. You know, things have gone well and very well. And with a lot of high hopes and optimism, we get cranked up to get into this the last phase of the offseason and get ready for fall camp. Just to go over again the quarterback situation, you know, we've come to the point where we have to make a call on it to play in the spring game coming up tomorrow. And so at this time, Aaron Korp is in the lead position there for a number of reasons. He's been in the program. He knows the system very well. He communicates well, you know, carrying on the calls from the sidelines to the huddle, and his work at the line of scrimmage is very good. He's a very good athlete, the best runner that we've had at the spot since we've been here. Has shown it on numerous occasions. He picks and chooses his times really well, when to take off and use his legs and run. And he's thrown the ball very well throughout springtime. So Aaron holds on to that spot going in, kind of came in with a little bit of an edge and kind of held that. The great surprise of spring is the ability of Matt Barkley to pick up our offense, to be able to go out there and compete really from the first days he was on the practice field and not really take a step backwards at any time. He's extraordinarily gifted in terms of just understanding the game and the position of playing quarterback. He would have to be, because he's done things unlike Matt Leinart, John David Booty, Mark Sanchez. Guys have all been extremely effective in our program. He's done it unlike those guys in that he's been able to pick things up and be incorporated right into the full flow of practice from the first days out here. So I expect that he'll play really good in the spring game and have another big day and show more so why he's, you know, this competition is so close right now. Mitch Mustain has had a good solid spring, but the other guys have kind of stayed ahead of him. And Mitch is going to continue to battle and do everything he can to get his playing time and his spot. So it's really a healthy situation for us. And I think Jeremy Bates has done a marvelous job of incorporating, you know, the transitions that he went through, and with the transitions of a new player at his spot. It's been really, really well done. And I can see why, you know, I hope you can see why we feel fortunate to have hired him, but I can see why other people in the NFL and other schools have really wanted his services. He's a terrific football coach and a great addition to us. The other big change that's happened, let me just address the linebacker thing. The linebacker situation, one with extraordinary focus because of the magnitude of the guys that left the program and all of the playing time and the years that our guys had been here. I think it was just natural. It's naturally an issue for us. But from the first couple days on, Gallipo took over at the Mike linebacker spot, and Malcolm Smith has been spectacular throughout springtime. And Mike Morgan has done a very nice job of holding up the outside backer spot for us following in where Kush played. So we've had nothing but good stuff from those guys as the starters. It's a very thin group, just a couple kids backing up that have any background at all playing for us. And so it's going to wind up being a very spotlighted position in fall camp when the freshmen come in. Jarvis Jones and Frankie Telfor and Marquise Simmons, these guys, Kevin Green, these guys are all going to be factored in to finding a way on the playing field for us. And so we're going to count on those guys to make a big contribution when they show up. So the other transition that we know with Brian Schneider coming in, coach special teams, it's really been fun to watch this. Brian is a great worker. He's a tremendous coach in the classroom with the kids, but also on the field. He coaches just in the style that we love. Very energetic, very aggressive, very creative on how he organizes drills, and we'll hope to see a real real impact. And there's no question that he's already helped us, and so we hopefully can continue to grow with that and add this to another real positive aspect of our team. So biggest question marks left out there are really will be in the kicking game and actually the kicking aspect of it. Joe Houston and Jordan Congdon continue to battle for the place kicking duties and the kickoff duties, with Jake Harfman coming in from Mount SAC Junior College to be a big factor in all of that. Big leg kid that that can also punt. I don't know how that's going to work out in camp, other than the competition will be on. We'll see what happens. But those are probably the biggest question marks. Billy O'Malley has been the punter and really the only punter competing at the front of this thing, and so he'll battle with Jake when Jake shows up. So that's still in question. We'll have to figure that out when we get back to camp. So it's been very successful, and we're looking forward to it. We have a big matchup. We're going to Cardinal and White game. We're going to split up the team where the one offense is on one team and the two defenses on one team, and vice versa, the two offense and one D, so that ones will be playing against ones, twos will play against twos in the game. We'll format it like we have in the past, segmenting our kicking game stuff, but then really highlighting the plays from scrimmage and the field goal kicking aspect of the competition. And we're going to play a game and see how it goes. Coaches will coach on both sides. We're going to play it like game day and do all of the pregame, the warm-ups and all that stuff exactly as we would do in a normal home game, so that we get a run-through on that as well and introduce our new coaches to all of the communications and all that goes on in a real-life situation. So looking forward to it. Want to have a good time and welcome. Hopefully you guys will get the word out for everybody that for the kids are free coming in and love it to be a big event. We'll have a big autograph session afterwards and let our coaches and players get close to the kids and the people that show up. So try to make it a big day for us. Also, we will be tracking the draft. The draft, hopefully, we'll be able to put stuff up on the board so that we can keep track of the draft as it goes on. We might have moments of appreciation in there, I would think, when our guys get picked. That's kind of how I have it pictured. And so we'll have some fun with that, too. So, but this will be one of the largest draft parties of all time. So come join in and have some fun with us. If you're a Trojan fan, now you might not know what's going on the rest of the draft, but you know what our guys are doing. So we'll track it closely, hopefully.
What injuries kind of limited you guys most this spring? Obviously, Luther Brown was a big injury, but who else kind of needed to be out there but wasn't?
Joe McKnight not being able to be available on a full-time basis is a big deal because Jeremy really didn't get a chance to work with him and see how far he can take his range of plays that he brings to us, and so that's the part that we didn't get done. The good and bad part of the tackles being banged up when Charles and Butch went down, it forced Tyron and Matt Khalil to play on a regular basis throughout practice for over a week, maybe almost 10 days time, which was really good for the young guys, really hard on them, but that helped us, I think, progress some. Christopher O'Dowd not being out there forced us to really work and focus in on the backup center spot with Jeff Byers taking some time there. Alex Parsons did really well until he broke his hand. But that will benefit us in the long run, that those guys are ready to back up and play if we need them. Sharice Wright not being able to play, he really did get to practice a lot, so he'll be ready to go when he's released by the doctors for full speed contact. But he was not at top speed, so that we could have been helped there. And Luther Brown for sure would have been a great a great bonus. You know, he would have been competing for the number one spots at the Mike linebacker spot or the Sam linebacker spot, but he unfortunately, you know, his shoulder kept him from doing that.
If someone pretty far down the depth chart has a very good spring, I'm thinking of Curtis McNeil, how much does that elevate him?
Well, Curtis, you know, if you were going to pick an MVP in spring, he might have been the MVP in springtime. He was just a highlighted player throughout. Our coaching staff totally believes in this kid. He's tough. He's instinctive. He's fast. He's creative. He can catch the ball. He blocks beautifully in pass protections. He's a terrific football player. And he showed it day in and day out. And he was tough enough to, you know, be able to hang through it all. He carried the ball twice as much as everybody else throughout the course of spring and made the very, very most of it. He's going to play for sure in the fall. There's no question. He's going to play for sure, and we wouldn't mind him playing a lot right now. So he's had a great spring and benefited from it. Another guy that just off the top here that really did have a big-time spring was DJ Shoemate. DJ had a great spring at the fullback spot, and the numbers of things that we can do with him because of his receiver background showed up, and we've grown with him, probably the most improved player on the team in developing a role and a position for himself. You know, Stanley's been a very effective player for us, but we've never found anybody that could really do those same things. DJ has found his way. He can carry the ball. He runs it well. He's solved the mysteries of the offense and the schemes and what we're doing with him because we move him so much. It's a difficult position to learn, but he's handled it well, and he's been very productive. And we'll see a lot of him again tomorrow, and won't hesitate to play him in games right now. So that's a huge bonus for us where we have been unable to find somebody to back him up, and all of the variety of things that Stanley does, DJ can do that.
Are you surprised with his timing?
Yeah, he has natural anticipation. Whether he's working with the youngest guys or the guys that have been around the program, it doesn't matter. He is forcing them to get out of their breaks. The ball is delivered so early and with good speed and velocity on the football. Our guys have to get ready for him. One of the things that young quarterbacks, rarely show is anticipation. You know, they show they have to see guys get open and they throw the ball, and the ball generally comes out late because they're not sure of themselves. Matt hasn't been like that. He anticipates better than anybody we have. And so that's a big, big asset. And also it's a big part of us trusting his ability to make the throws. There's a lot of things he does better than any of the guys already. Right now, Matt's biggest concerns is being able to manage the whole game in the offense from the communication standpoint. We did not burden him with that to try to allow him to show his range of play. And so now he has to catch up in that as we go to camp and all. And that's really, of all of the aspects of it, that's the least difficult. So he's going to be right in the middle of this competition when we get back at it in August.
You mentioned the contributions of the two new coaches, Jeremy and Brian. Can you talk a little bit about what Jeff brought to the defensive line?
Yeah.
I think there was a real good connection between them.
Yeah, and really there was an immediate connection when Jethro showed up and the guys got to hear about him and start to work with him. They just took to him. He's got a great personality and a tremendous attitude, and he's a really tough guy to play for because he's so demanding. But the guys have responded beautifully. He's really had a big impact on Everson Griffin. Everson Griffin is playing by far the best that he's ever played for us, utilizing the great speed that he has and explosiveness, and looks to be a real factor for us. We still continue to challenge him with his consistency at playing at such a high level, but he's played as well as anybody that's played that spot for us in a lot of occasions here in spring football. So that's really an exciting factor. Whenever you have a guy that shows up at that rush position, he can control almost more of the game than anybody can on the defensive side of the football, and Everson has been an enormous factor against good tackles too. He's given our top guys all they can handle, and that's I think Jethro and the other guys as well, they're working together quite well, and hopefully we can continue to see that grow. His familiarity with us was when there was no transition at all. He just jumped back in. His impact in recruiting has already been seen and in last year's class and already in what's happening in this year's class. So he's a tremendous asset for us.
Is it a dead heat between kickers at this point in your mind?
Yeah, we had to put one guy in the first team, one guy in the second team. So Joe Houston will kick with the first group. In that, there has been nothing to change it. They've been just about dead even the whole time, numbers wise and attempts. You know, we continue to try and create situations for them to make it hard and competitive and whatever. So Jordan is still kicking with the second group, but right now you could just about alternate them. You really could alternate them, and the results are the same. So we'll just let the competition play itself out and see what happens, and see how they handle fall camp.
It can be an issue with a good freshman quarterback that he struggles to command the respect of fourth, fifth, sixth-year guys. Why has that not been an issue with Matt?
Well, you know, in our program, we've been so quick to facilitate the freshman's input, and for years, these guys that are the fifth and sixth or fourth and fifth year guys. There's only a couple 6 year guys, but the fourth and fifth year guys, they all had the same opportunities. You know, they played as freshmen and contributed then also. So I think we have a different level of appreciation that isn't typical because of the way we've gone about it. And then if you've been on any teams, if a guy can play really well, guys are going, they're not going to fight it. You know, it's only if you're forcing something, you know, on a team that they don't feel and they can't sense the ability level and the contribution. So I think Matt has shown, you know, that he adds something and that he has a chance to contribute in a big way, whether he starts or not. And he's also, he has a personality and a knack to handle. You know, he handles himself well. You know, he's not pushing himself on anybody. He's a well-liked personality around the team already, and so I think they're looking at him like a little brother coming up too. You know, there's a little bit of that, so guys are taking care of him.
Realistically, with three NFL first-round picks, how good can your linebacker be?
Well, we'll find out. I don't know. We'll find out. But we're really pleased with them, and I think with Mike Morgan and Cush, and those guys are going to hate me saying this, but we're Cush and Kaluka and Ray and Clay would never admit to this, but we're faster than we were, and Mikey and Malcolm really can run, and they add a lot. Now, Ray's going to beat Gallippo in a race, but he's going to beat most any Mike linebacker in a race. So I think we felt the speed on the field and the pursuit and stuff, and these guys have learned well. They've been trained well underneath those guys. They've seen great examples of what we expect from the position, and Kenny's done a marvelous job of challenging these guys to live up to the level of play. It's been very, very good, and we've been pleased, and so it's worked out.
What do you have?
I don't know. How far it's going to go, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
What do you look at your behind them? Last year, you had these guys behind them.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's the biggest question mark, I think, going back to camp on the football team, is how the young linebackers can develop, you know, and fit in. Jordan Campbell has had a good camp, and he's, matter of fact, he will start in the game with the number ones at the will linebacker spot, and Malcolm will move over and start at the outside backer spot in this game because Mike Morgan's going to miss the game with his ankle sprain. So Jordan's had a good camp, but it's really it's wide open. Juana Kavenga has played well and elevated his status, but it'll be Jarvis and Frankie and those guys coming in here. Marquise, you know, and Kevin, see what they can add to it all. They have to. There's no choice. They have to.
Has there been any discussion to move? I know you guys toyed with McVeary as a linebacker.
No. Nick's done a nice job. And matter of fact, he's going to get more opportunities. Just in the last week, he's really elevated. And he's going to play on both sides at the defensive end spot for us in this game. So we're not thinking of moving him.
These guys coming in, is this your deepest D-line that you've had in terms of
location? Well, in that, they all played at pretty much the same level. I can't even remember 3-4 years ago. I don't know. We're solid, and we have enough guys to rotate right now. We're playing seven guys, I think, you know, in a regular rotation right now. So with Loney Fangupo coming in, you know, from junior college, he was really kind of earmarked as a guy to come in and compete at Feely's spot, you know, and see what he could add. I mean, we had so much play time at that spot. Averill's done a nice job, and Derek Simmons has done a nice job coming back over. But, you know, we'll see if Loney can handle that and help us out there. That'd be really, really beneficial to us depth-wise if that happens. And at that point, if he can contribute, then we're about as deep as we've ever been, yeah.
A lot of coaches have begun to peel back from playing once versus once in spring games. out of injury concerns. Have you given any thought to that?
Nope. No, why they get hurt less or more? I mean, I don't know. I don't get that part of it. We want it as competitive. We're going to make it as competitive as we can make it, and that's the priority. And our guys are so accustomed to it that that's just the way we do it. You know, and they don't know anything else, and we won't change that. Now, there's a time in fall camp when we divide the team up, when we shift that emphasis to the administration of the game, and that's the final emphasis there. That's the time when we don't, but not at this time in spring.
Is there a clear third receiver at this point?
No, it's not clear. David has had a great spring and done a beautiful job, and we're watching the emergence of Jordan Cameron at that position as well. Bryce Butler's working, and Trayvon, those guys are right there to help us. We kind of see guys in roles right now, but don't see a clear-cut third. But David plays like a starter, you know, in that regard. It's a little bit about shifting the guys around to fit the spots that will really be solidified in fall camp. In this game, Saturday, Trayvon will play as the third receiver to move him around because he plays it's the right mix for us to divide the team up a little bit, the ones and twos there. So he'll play as the third guy in this thing. And David will flop over some and come over on that side.
Do you have any design quarterback runs in the playbook? Is that something you might play around putting in?
Gosh, I knew there was something I was going to do this spring. Shoot, I forgot about that.
I mean, you've never had a guy with the mobility that
Why would we change now?
Consider the boot around?
You want me to just open up the playbook to you? What's that? We've always moved our quarterbacks. Our quarterbacks are involved extensively on the perimeter. You know, with tremendous play action emphasis in our offense. And what will happen by the nature of the player that they'll utilize their legs more so, you know, when it fits. Mark was a little more apt to run, of course, than John David or Matt was, Matt Leinart, and he took advantage of that. And Aaron and Mitch are much more equipped to run as well, so they'll be involved some. And we'll see them run more. I mean, if you just watch this play, that's what happens, you know, and it's because of the nature of the player. So we will hopefully, allow for that to happen, and it's part of the offense as well.
Besides Barkley, has anyone else surprised you with their performance this spring?
Well, yeah, tons of guys have. DJ had a great spring. David Osbury had a great spring. Curtis McNeil had a fantastic spring. Mark Tyler's making a big push here in the last week, and then he got back to good health. He's had a couple of really good days. The big move to make Tyron, a starting right tackle. It was a big deal, and he's latched on to that and trying to hold it, from the other guys that are challenging him. Nick Howell has done really well at the right guard spot. Not that that's a big surprise, but that's, he's elevated his status. I think Everson Griffin is a real happy, emergence, happy emergence / surprise. I don't know how that works. But yeah, I think, and Brian Bachum has had a really, really solid spring too. He's been very productive. He's been real, pleasant scene to see him come in. And he makes a lot of plays, gets his hand on a lot of balls. He's been involved with a lot of turnovers and stuff. He's had a very good spring. That corner position with he and TJ and Marshall Jones, those guys are all battling for that third corner spot, they're doing a good job and played very well, and it's not clear cut at all right now who the guy is, but it's because they're all playing on the upside of it. So
you lost some leadership from this team. Have you found that new guys have taken that role on already in the spring, either out on the field or in the locker room?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, but as soon as the off season program begins with Coach Carlisle and the guys working out down the weight room and doing all the running and all that. It already kind of starts to take shape. The guys are going to get in front of the lines and all of that. I mean, Taylor Mays has been extraordinary you know, and his leadership and his direction, and he does it for the most part by the way he just performs every single day he goes out there, you know. Jeff Byers has always been a guy that these guys look up to, but you can see it. It's always fun to watch it turn, you know. Stephon Johnson has been a good voice. Stanley, Damian Williams, and we have a lot of guys that really have taken charge. Avril Spicer has been a factor, being that he's the older guy on the defensive line. And Galippo, in his way of just controlling the huddle, you know, that becomes a leadership position for him as well. So there's a lot of guys. We have no problem with leaders, you know. But it is kind of, it's rites of passage, you know, kind of an emergence that occurs, and that's well underway already. So.
What's scheduled now after it's over tomorrow for the team and the coaches up until?
Yeah, well, the summer? The guys go right back into Coach Carlisle's program, and the work to get ready, you know, for fall camp is underway. Finishing up school is a priority. We get another week of school, and finals coming up is huge. The coaches go on the road in May to do spring recruiting that the head coaches don't get to do, and then that leads us into, you know, camp time in June. You know, we do all of our final work for the season in June as a staff, and then we also entertain the kids that come in for our camps to finish up that whole aspect of the summer. Then we take a break in July and we're rolling. Just before you know it, we'll be there.
Is there now a period where the assistants can go out but you can't?
Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, in spring recruiting, the head coaches have been mandated as non-recruiters, you know, so.
That's kind of silly.
Yeah, they didn't have to, I mean, as long as you brought it up. the head coaches never did have to recruit. They didn't want to. But for some reason, guys got together and changed that rule to keep guys that do like recruiting off the road. That's the reason that they did it. And I think that's pretty weak, you know, and I don't support it and will never support it. And if I knew how to do something about it, I would. You know, I don't understand it, you know. I just think it's a bad decision. And I think it's a weak decision on head coaches, you know, get paid a lot of money to lead these programs. We should do all the work that we can do. We shouldn't sit on our butts during the month of May when there's 30 days to go out there and work your program. You know, I couldn't be more opposed to that.
What are you going to do with that extra time in that 30-day period?
I'll hopefully receive a lot of phone calls from the fellas. They'll keep me up on what's going on. Our guys are going to be on the road, you know, everywhere, and so we kind of will stay in constant contact, just like I was there with them. Eyes and ears. And then we have, you know, things we do around here. There's a lot of things to do around for the program that I can support. There's a lot of opportunities to get out and kind of, you know, be the ambassador for the program from the inside out and disappear so you guys can't find me.
Are there ways technologically you can sort of be out there? I know teleconferencing has sort of gotten in the mix, and the NCAA keeps trying to keep changing.
Yeah, well, one of the ways is, no, I'm not going to talk about it. There are some ways, yes. There are some ways. Let other guys figure it out. Yeah.
Including Twitter?
Yeah, yeah. Big day for Twitter today, you know. You realize that, right?
I thought yesterday was when you did your interview.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Will's on board, yeah. Finally got that lazy bugger off his butt. He's out there finally. Jeez, it's about time.
Did Alan Bradford move up on the depth chart?
No. Couldn't make a movie, wasn't able to do anything. Yeah, but though, if you are interested, yeah, Will is on Twitter, and he thinks he's gonna just blow, you know, the record books out of the window here with his emergence on the Twitter scene. We'll find out.
Is he quickly gonna accumulate 1 million followers?
I think he probably will.
Do you agree with Barkley said? Twitter is
no.
It's for losers.
He's right.
He doesn't want to do it.
He's right. I think he's probably right.
Not
man. Oh, Charles Barkley?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant man.
The same man.
I thought that was kind of bold for the QB that's not even a freshman yet. But
anything else for Coach? A couple of dates for your calendar. July 30th is Pac-10 Media Day at the Sheraton Gateway at the airport.
Really?
And we report April 7th as of now. August 7th. And first practice is August 8th.
Thanks very much for tuning in to the Trojan Blast. Make sure to check out peristylepodcast.com for all of our shows, or uscfootball.com for all the latest news going on with Trojan football.